Good afternoon, everybody. Today we're going. Today we're going to be talking about smart locks on Shabbos. What do I know about smart locks? The answer is absolutely nothing. However, I got an email the other night from Rabbi Jachter, who is writing a book on electricity and halacha, on technology and halacha, and he has a section on smart locks. And then I did a little searching around, and I found that Rabbi Ike Sultan wrote a beautiful article on smart locks. And therefore, I'm just going to try to summarize what Rabbi Jachter and Rabbi Sultan have to say about smart locks. So first of all, what is a smart lock and why would anyone want to have one? So a smart lock is designed to perform locking and unlocking operations on the door when it receives such instructions from an authorized device. It monitors access, it sends alerts. I mean, instead of just having a regular manual lock that you just turn the key and it turns, so you're able to go on your phone on an app and it unlocks the door, and it will tell you how many people walked in the house, walked out of the house, and it has Wi-Fi availability. And it also has a feature that it will lock automatically if you unlock your door and then accidentally left it unlocked. It will stay unlocked for only about 25 minutes, then it will lock itself again in case you forget to lock the door and you forget to go on your app to lock the door. It's like idiot-proof. It will take care of everything for you. The benefits are obvious. First of all, peace of mind and safety, and you can remotely check if a family member remembered to close or lock the door. You can just check on the app, see if the door actually is or is not locked, and see if someone has to get into the house. You have a worker coming to the house. You don't have to hide a key under the mat. You know, if you walk around your neighborhood, you just pick up mats, you can break into any house. But so the person can just give you a call and you can let them in remotely. It also tracks when the door was open and closed, so it's good to know if your kids are cutting class and coming back home, you can see when they're coming in, when they're coming out. So it has all sorts of wonderful features. Now, obviously, to activate a smart lock by using your phone or by using a key fob or something like that, that's out of the question, right? That's not going to be mutter to do on Shabbos. You would have to disable it to a point where it's turned into purely manual lock in order to be able to lock it and unlock it on Shabbos. We don't make new electrical circuits on Shabbos, nor do we even change an electrical current in an existing circuit on Shabbos if we can help it. We try, for whatever reason, that's the minhag, that we don't do those things. We're not getting into electricity and halacha right now. That's going to be a given in this conversation. Question is, sometimes, apparently, even if you disable the mechanism and it now becomes just a manual thing, it still tracks. It still tracks how many, every time the door is open, every time the door is closed, you'll be able to check the app after Shabbos and it will tell you how many times you went in and out over the course of Shabbos. So if it's still tracking your activity, is that going to be a problem? So that seems to be the focus of the discussion from both Rabbi Jachter and Rabbi Sultan's perspective. The question becomes, you know, it certainly is going to happen, and it's secrecy that it's going to happen. So the question might be, first of all, is that problematic that you have a psikreshe for something like that? Is that considered your maisa at all? Is it something that at all relates to you? And that's what Rabbi Sultan deals with at length. And then the second question is it nichale? If it's a psikreshe, it's a lo nichale on a derabanan. There's room to be makel on a psikreshe, it's a lo nichale on a derabanan. Is that considered to be something that is nichale? So as far as the first issue, in terms of is this even considered something that relates to you at all, there is a famous Rashba in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Zayin, where the Rashba writes that if a person's intent is to close the door because he just wants his door closed, he just doesn't want Ganavim getting in, or he just doesn't want the hot air or the cold air from the outside getting in, so even if there happens to be a deer roaming around his house, and he's aware of it, that the deer is in his house, the Rashba says you're allowed to close the door, and he brings a Raya from a Yerushalmi. The Ran totally disagrees and with the Rashba, rejects the Shitas HaRashba, and he says you're doing a single action with two intentions. That's the same as doing two actions. It's the same as closing your door to keep the cold out, and then again opening it and closing it to trap the deer in. That's considered as if you are violating the Malach of Tzedah. And the Ran writes that even if the person didn't intend to trap the deer, it would be us to close the door anyway, because it's a psik reshe. Now the Shilta Giborim writes somewhere in between. He says, if you have kavanah to trap the deer, then it's us to close the door for security. But if your only intention is just to close the door, you wish the deer wasn't even in your house, but your only intention is just to close the door, then even if you know that the deer is in your house and is going to be trapped, it is mutter, because trapping the deer is unintentional. The question is, what does he mean by that? It's a psik reishe only if you intend to have both results. It's not a psik reishe if I don't intend for the other result. Isn't that the definition of psik reishe? That a psik reishe means that it's a davar sheino miskaven, that's definitely going to happen. So what does it mean? I don't intend for the result. It's not a psik reishe. So two ways to understand the shulta kiborim. Number one, Rav Shlomo Zalman Mincha Shlomo Chelek Aleph Siman Vav says this is special to the malacha of trapping. When it comes to tzeda, kavana is critical in the very definition of the malacha of tzeda. A psik reishe is aser in general because whenever a person does a mutter maisa with an inevitable consequence, that's called a psik reishe. It's as if you had kavana for the malacha that resulted. But that's only by malachos where the result is what ultimately matters, whereas a malacha where there's significance not only to the result but to the maisa itself, or to the kavana of the malacha, then not having kavana is enough to take away the shei malacha. However, not everyone agrees that that's what the shilta gibor means. The Onig Yom Tov writes that a psik reishe is only aser if a person has some sort of direct physical interaction with a tangible result from that action, like when you drag a bench that's too heavy and it makes a hole in the ground. So that's a direct physical action that created, even though you weren't trying to dig a hole in the ground, created a direct physical result. But if the malacha that comes out of your action, of your psik reishe, is removed from the mutter activity that you're doing, it's in some other location, it's not even near you, it's not in your presence, then that's going to be mutter. And that's what the shilta gibora means. So Rabbi Sultan quotes that Moreno Rav Shechter agrees to this understanding of the Shilta Giborim, and that the psik reishe is only going to make you responsible for that which is directly physically connected to your actions, but something far removed. So for example, walking in front of a security camera. So in the old days, assuming when the security camera started out, so Moreno Rav Shechter took a very strict stance against it, that you can't go into certain buildings, right? But then they're all over the place. You can't walk in New York City. You would not be allowed to leave your house if you cannot walk in front of any security camera, because there are security cameras everywhere. Anytime someone commits a crime, you see on the news the grainy footage. I don't know why they haven't gotten better, why there's still grainy footage, but you see the grainy footage of with the guy walking down that block and then to the next block, and they track everything. They're always on camera. So Rav Shechter was makel for this reason, that the image that's made on the camera is that you're projecting onto the camera is detached from your physical movement, and that's therefore irrelevant to you. So that's as far as that's concerned, as far as it being your action. As far as the smart lock, though, this is direct, meaning you're directly logging every time you open the door. You may not be intending to do it. You're directly logging the information that you're then going to come back to. So this is a problematic kind of psik reishe. The question is that called nichole? So Rabbi Jachter points out that Rav Eliashiv holds that nichole is defined by whether you benefit from the malacha taking place, even if it's not the particular effect that you're triggering, meaning and therefore this would be a psik reishe to nichle, because you're benefiting from the logging system in general, the fact that it logs your movements. That's why you bought a smart lock. However, Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg Zichron Levracha and Rav Vadi Yosef Zichron Levracha both say that a psik reishe to lo, this would be a psik reishe to lo nichle, because you don't care about this particular entry being logged. You may like the fact that it logs in general, but you're not interested in it logging you're opening the door at this moment. You'd like to know when all sorts of family members and other people come in and out. But I know I'm coming in and out right now, because I'm coming in. So I don't need it to log this moment, this entry, at this very time. So Rav Shechter, Rabbi Sultan calls Rav Shechter, said when it comes to a smart lock, if it's your own house, so it's Rav Shachter thought it would be nichalei anyway. And this is Rav Shachter says by in a lot of different contexts, that if the whole system that you set up is beneficial to you, regardless, and the system is functioning the way you set it up to function, the way you want it to function, and it's not that this action, this movement is nichalei. We don't look at it on such a micro scale. You have this system, you bought this system, you want this system, and the system is working. So that is called nichalei, as the system works, as the system does what it's supposed to be doing, that would be considered to be nichalei. And therefore, any time a person, a system, a person buys for his house is functioning normally, it's beneficial and would be l'chora problematic. Rabbi Jachter quotes that Rav Rimon was makel on the shayla, and he said Rav Willig Shlita also agrees to Rav Rimon that is makel on this shayla. Now, obviously, if there is a solution to it, I don't know the technicalities of it, but if there is a solution to it, so it's best to be machmir. Rabbi Jachter suggests that an additional tzad lahakel might be Rav Asher Weiss's approach. Rav Asher Weiss always has a unique take on electricity in general. As Rav Willig said, he is the biggest machmir in electricity and the biggest makil on electricity, right? Because Rav Asher Weiss holds that if it's something that fits into his Makabe Patish category, so then it's Melacha Doraisa. And if not, then it's nothing. It's either Melacha Doraisa or it's a zero. There's no gray area. But Rav Asher Weiss's approach, that there's no concern for molid when the result has no consequence or significance. So even if a person views the situation as nichalei, the homeowner might be able to enter his house, since it's not a situation of molid bechlal, since it has no consequence or significance, perhaps. Maybe it's sad lahakel, but obviously, ideally, if you're going to be living in the house, so if shechtu is mechalel between your house and someone else's house, meaning if you're a guest at someone else's house, you don't have to worry about opening the door, because it's totally lo nichalei for you that he gets to log his system. So that you don't have to worry about, but when it's your own house, so that then it is nichalei, because you're the one that set up the system, you're the one that bought the system, you're the one that wants the system. So that, I should have mentioned, that's a very important chiluk between your own house versus somebody else's house. And obviously, you always try to set up in your own house, you try to set up that everything should be beyond any shailas, and you shouldn't have to be the Vilna Gaon in order to figure out whether you can enter your house or not on Shabbos. It should be without any shailas. Okay, everyone have a good Shabbos. Oh, so many people in Zoom. Okay.